Good morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean, and I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Yo.
And today we're talking about Mike's recommendation from last week, Beverly Hills Cop 1984, I believe.
Something like that.
Starring Eddie Murphy.
Very 80s.
Very 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically...
starring a bunch of your favorite 80s actors.
Yeah. The long and short of it is... Eddie Murphy plays a Detroit cop by the name of Axel Foley. He meets up with a former delinquent friend who stole from some bad people and got gunned down for it. And now he's investigating his murder where it originated in Beverly Hills. Thus, Beverly Hills Cop.
And thus, Beverly Hills Cop was born.
And all the cops in Detroit were like, yeah, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you'd think that some of the cops from Detroit would have, like, made their way to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But it's just Axel Foley dealing with the cops from Beverly Hills the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like not anybody else. Spawn 2 sequels. This is the first time I've ever seen this movie, and I haven't seen the sequels either.
Is there
either.
A fourth?
I don't know.
We were talking about this.
Yeah.
I thought there was only three movies.
There might be. I don't know. It's one of those, like, Mandela things where, like, I feel like there's a fourth, but there probably isn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to lose this, so.
Well, you know, now that we said that there's a fourth, they're going to be like, we're rebooting.
But yeah, just be making a sequel.
Four. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a reboot, but they call it Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Just like if they were going to reboot the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, they'd just call it.
It wouldn't be rebooting, though. It would be continuing.
It would just be continuing.
What I'm saying is, like, they take this, like, they reboot the first movie, but they call it Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy just playing the disgruntled lieutenant.
Yeah, exactly.
The precinct.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
What do we have to say about the movie?
Hank from Breaking Bad.
His name's not Hank. You got the wrong guy. Jonathan Banks, though. He plays...
Jonathan Hanks.
He plays Mike.
Jonathan Hanks.
Mike.
Yes.
Who's Hank?
Dean Norris.
I always get them confused.
They are both elderly bald men.
They are. But they look distinctly different.
They do.
Sorry, I didn't know his name was Mike.
That's fine.
I thought it was Hank.
It's not that big of a deal.
I thought that I didn't know Dean Norris's character's name, but turns out I do know his name.
Yes.
Okay. But, yeah, so a very young Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, this is, I don't think this is the first movie I've seen him in. He was in, what the fuck is it? Buckaroo Banzai. He was in that movie. And he was really young in that movie.
I never made it all the way through Buckaroo Banzai.
No, it's strange. Yeah. But, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Beverly Hills Cop.
Do we want the synopsis now with my terrible reading?
Sure, we can.
Okay. After his buddy is murdered while visiting Detroit, rebellious cop Axel Foley follows the leads to Beverly Hills, California. Under auspicious... or, is that the...
Yeah, that's the word.
Whatever, I don't know. It's word weird.
Okay. Under the auspicious of a... Yeah, that's horrible.
Okay, yeah.
Eddie Murphy play funny cop.
Under the guise of a vacation,
yeah.
He checks in with an old friend, Jenny Summers, played by Lisa Elbecker, and starts to believe her boss, art dealer Victor Matland, Stephen Berkoff, might somehow be involved in the murder. However, Lieutenant Bogomil, Ronnie Cox of the Beverly Hills Police Department, does not trust Foley and hinders his search of evidence.
Yes.
This is like...
There's a lot of strange names in that.
Well, this was like, watching this movie, for me anyway, like watching a lot of 80s movies, I was like, oh wow, this is like a who's who of like your favorite 80s stars. You had Judge Reinhold, Ronnie Cox, the guy from Rambo 2, Eddie Murphy, who else? There's a few other people that
I recognize them, but I don't know them by name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely noticed. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of 80s. Like, I'm like, wow, this is definitely an 80s movie because I recognize like a good majority of these people.
Basically, the crux of the movie is basically Axel Foley coming into a police department and making them all dirty cops by breaking the rules. Because that's like the point of the movie. It's like the Beverly Hills cops are like,
by the book.
They're stern, they're straight-laced. And obviously Axel Foley, he's from Detroit, so he plays it a little loose, breaks the rules every now and then, and he's basically just, he eventually pushes all of the cops into just, like, breaking the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for the betterment of, like, solving this drug smuggling case, but at the same time, he just made all of these cops, like, bad cops.
Well, and, like, I feel like the majority of the movie, too, is, like, he goes and does something, and then it cuts to the next scene. It's just Ronnie Cox going, Axel! You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Alvin! You know? that's what it boiled down
to. It's like him scolding him.
Yeah.
I did like Axel Foley a lot. Like, he would go do things, and then he would, like, outsmart the Beverly Hills cops just by, like, well, the first instance we see is he buys them dinner. And then he, like, shoves a banana in their tailpipe.
Three bananas.
Yeah, three bananas in their tailpipe and blows up their car. And then, like, he just, like, knows more about police stuff than everyone else. But he's also, like, a good guy, because whenever he meets back up with Judge Reinhold and with Taggart, he's like, oh, you know, I wasn't, like, sure I did that to, like, get you off my tail, but I really, like, was genuine when I sent you the food. Like, I'm a cop, I've been on stakeouts before, I know how it sucks. I was just being a nice cop. And then he eventually gets both of them on his side, and he, like, leads them to do stuff, like, under the ruse of just, like, yeah, we're just gonna do this thing, and then it's actually, like, part of his case, like, trying to break it. Like, he takes him to the strip club under the guise of, like, oh, let's go grab a drink, but he actually is there because he knew that two of the guys that worked for, what's his name, Maitland?
Yeah,
Maitland. Yes.
Yeah. Were going to be there because he overheard them when he was, like, going through the drug smuggling warehouse. So, it's pretty tightly written, I think.
Yeah.
It's a tad long for my liking. I think that you could have shaved a good 20 minutes or so off the movie.
20.
Yeah, you could have taken out, like, at least one of the Ronnie Cox scolding him scenes, because, like, it was unnecessary, in my opinion, to have three of them.
Yeah.
You could have had one, and then, like, when they stumbled upon something, be like, well, I guess, like, I felt there wasn't a need for it, but I guess the stakes build as those scenes go on, like, because then their chief comes in and he's like, get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, there was one instance I was thinking of during the climax, whenever it was Taggart and, what's his name, Rosewood? Whenever they were, like, trying to...
Billy.
Yeah, Billy Rosewood, when they were, like, trying to vault that section of the mansion. And it was, like, goofy, because, like, they're, like, he has him on his shoulders and he's, like, falling around or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's funny and all, but get that out of the movie. It doesn't add anything to this climax
sequence. I don't know, I thought it was pretty funny, but...
I just felt like stuff like that could have been shaved down, because it was running a tad long for me. And it was like, I was feeling that even before we got to the climax.
Yeah.
Or I was feeling it, like, right whenever the chief was confronting Axel, and he's like, all right, leave. And I was like, holy shit, this movie's, like, still going. So, I just feel like it could have been a little bit shorter.
Yeah, I unfortunately looked at the runtime beforehand, so I was like, we're in for one. A comedy that's over an hour.
I was gonna say, I wasn't expecting it to be this long, because, like, it is a cop movie, but at its core, it's a comedy, you
right?
Know? Like, so comedies that are, like, of such a large length typically aren't the best, but this was, well, and the action was great too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it blended all of those, like, sequences together, like the action, like the actual, like, a detective movie and the comedy. It blended it really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I couldn't believe how much swearing was in this movie.
Yeah.
Because when I popped up and it was, like, rated R, I was like, oh.
Which, I mean, I knew it was rated R because I had to, you know, prove I was over 17 or whatever the hell was.
Well, and Judge Reinhold shot a dude in the heart.
I was going to say, there isn't a hell of a lot of violence. It's mostly, like language.
I mean, they pop Mikey right in the head twice, like,
yeah, with no blood spatter. I mean, his head faces the camera, and there's like nothing.
But there's nudity in it, so.
Oh yeah.
Brief nudity at the club scene. I think the most violence there was at the very end. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the most instance of any blood.
When they blast Maitland.
Yeah, they just like. Both. I can't remember his name, Lieutenant.
Bogomil.
Yeah, Bogomil and Axel are just like. It's funny because he, like, shoots and just completely whiffs on shooting Axel, and then they're both just like. He has, like, 30 bullets in him by the time he goes careening down the stairs.
Where is that stairwell? Because I thought he was, like, up against a wall.
It looked like he was in a bathroom or something.
Yeah. and then they, like, shot him up, and then he fell down a flight of stairs, and I was like, where the fuck did the stairs come from?
It was a mansion. He might have a set of stairs that lead into his bathroom.
Maybe they shot, like, an alternate ending where he lived from the shooting but broke his neck falling down the stairs.
No, that's so bad. There's no way.
You never know, man. It was the 80s.
Yeah. But that was a little bizarre. I don't know if you bring it up. I didn't notice it, but my brain did.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that, like, Maitland's mansion was the same mansion from Commando that Arnold goes in and is, like, shooting the fuck up with, like, the rocket launchers and shit. Mm. Look like the same thing.
Mm. I love how the contrast between, like, the Detroit police station, it's, like, a shithole. And then they, like, after Axel gets thrown out the window and he gets arrested, and they take him into this, like, command center that is, like, the Beverly Hills.
I mean, it's more advanced than RoboCop's.
Oh, yeah. Center. Well, it was in Detroit.
Well, yeah, but.
I think that might be one of my favorite scenes in the movie whenever he confronts Maitland, and then he, like, they're like, get off me, and he throws him out the window, and the cops pull up, and they're like, stand up, and he's like, what's the matter with you? It's like, put your hands on the hood of the car. You're under arrest. He's like, I was thrown out of a window. It's like, you're arresting me for being thrown out of a window? What the fuck is that?
I thought that was...
Nowadays, that would just be something that you would get arrested for.
In the 80s, not so believable.
No. Now? Yeah. Yeah, in the 80s, you're like, oh, who the fuck arrests somebody for getting thrown out a window? Nowadays, it's like, oh, they shot him for...
Oh, you sneezed on the window? You're arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
He's even executed.
It was kind of, like, there was a little bit of outdated comedy in the movie.
Which parts, exactly?
Well, whenever
list them in detail.
Yeah, when he was having his scene at the hotel.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Oh.
Like, you probably couldn't do that in a movie now.
Yeah.
And I forget there was something else. Maybe in the strip club, but I can't entirely remember.
Alex just turned into a Karen.
Oh, yeah.
In that scene.
Or whenever he pretended to be gay and said that he had, like, herpes, like, Omega.
Simplex 10,
yeah. Some, like...
And the guy's like, I think you should tell
him. He's like, you should probably say that to him yourself.
Oh, so you brought that up. You said, you're like... He's doing what Harrison Ford tried to do in Blade Runner. I want to play a game. From now on, any movie that we watch that has a detective, we're going to stack them up against Rick Deckard. And 90% of the time in this game, whoever's up against Rick Deckard is going to come out as the better detective.
It's true. I mean, I think hands down,
Axel Foley is a much better detective. Yeah, like... Obi-Wan Kenobi is a better detective than Rick Deckard.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I brought that up, though, because in that scene in Blade Runner, he, like, uses a fake, like, a phony accent, and he's pretending to be a reporter, talking to somebody that he's never met before, so he doesn't need to, like, put on a fake accent. He could just be like, hey, I'm a reporter, but he, like, puts on some fucking bogus accent. So I thought that, like, Axel was doing that with this guy, because he was, like, putting on, like, a feminine accent, and then it turns out that he was pretending to be in a homosexual relationship with, Maitland. So that actually had purpose to him giving a phony accent.
Yeah, because it got him into another place.
Whereas whenever Rick Deckard did it, it made
Rick Deckard was just trying to get information, not get him into somewhere else to further the story.
Yeah.
And then he ends up killing her.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Well, I don't like that movie much.
I don't think anyone really does. Sequel? Great. Original? No.
I tried watching it once and I fell asleep.
Yeah, it's very boring. Very, very boring. Yeah.
It's a snooze fest.
Second one's great, though.
Second one.
I have heard good things.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I mean, this is kind of one of those movies where there's not, like, a ton to really unbox. I mean,
it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. It's a cop movie. He investigates his friend's murder. I thought he would be a little bit more upset about it.
Yeah, he seemed kind of on the
level. Like, even when he goes to tell the girl that I can't remember her name.
Jennifer? Yeah, I think it's Jenny. Sure.
Yeah, Jenny. That sounds right. He's just like, Mikey's dead.
Yeah, he's not like...
And she's kind of upset about it, but like...
I mean, you could say, like... I guess you could argue that he's not, like, that upset, but, like, that's what drives him to go. Like, he went across the country to solve the murder of his friend. So I'd say he's upset. He's keeping it contained.
Right.
But he's clearly upset because he went across the country to go...
He's motivated, in the least.
Yeah.
So whenever you, like, got up and used the restroom, I turned to Aaron and I was... Because it was whenever, Axel and Jennifer were like investigating the warehouse where they saw like the bonds being.
Oh yeah.
Trained. I like turned to Aaron and I was like, "Do you think she's in on it?" Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, probably." I was totally expecting her to be in on it. And then like, whenever Maitland like goes to confront her after Axel like attacks him the second time at the country club, I was like, "Oh, I guess she isn't in on it." I thought like she was gonna like.
Totally you know why? Because we watched The Mask, and that one threw us for a loop.
Yeah.
She was in on it. Now we can't trust it.
The Mask painted us.
I totally thought that, too. That she'd be in on it.
There was a
just the way surprise. She was, like, she kept defending him. Like, oh, he's been in this business for 10 years.
And he's well-known.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
If it weren't for him, I'd be waiting tables.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
But
if she had been in on it, there'd have been a scene that's like, come on, just let it go. Don't look into it any further. That would have been like the dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Of course, back in the 80s, everyone would have been like, well, just let it go, man.
Like, you gotta forget about it.
Forget about it.
She's asking you nicely. Two scenes later, she has a gun to him.
The only scene that we really see him show any emotion towards the fact that his friend Mikey was killed whenever, Jonathan Banks said that he killed him whenever they, like, captured him, and it was presumed that they were gonna murder him. He's like, oh, I should have done you whenever I did your pally back in Detroit, and then you could see, and he didn't even, like, he just, like, flashed a little bit of anger on his face, but even then, it was just kind of, like, pretty stoic.
Yeah.
Stoic.
So, has Eddie Murphy always laughed like this?
I don't know.
Yes, he has.
Because
I have never
I feel
paid
like,
attention.
Yeah, I feel like in his later movies, it was a more natural laugh.
Right.
Because this...
Maybe somebody told him, hey, you need to work on
that. Or he watched his own movies, he's like, the hell am I doing?
Yeah, that's horrible. It's like on the level of Seth Rogen laugh for the 80s.
Wow.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing? That doesn't sound natural at all.
At least I like Seth Rogen's.
That's true. Seth Rogen's is funny. Eddie Murphy's in this movie is atrocious.
Maybe it's because Seth Rogen's a stoner, but maybe that's why it's okay.
I don't know. But when it happened, like... He was laughing a lot during them. And he was laughing at his own jokes and stuff, too. And I was just like, you've got to stop.
Yeah,
once you
pointed it out, I was like, I can't not notice that.
Because, like, yeah, you just mentioned that. And then I'm, like, thinking about, like, Shrek. Where he's laughing as Donkey. And I'm like, oh, it's more like... It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it's totally natural. It doesn't sound anything like that.
I'm glad we're taking a segment. They're taking a spell to talk about Eddie Murphy's laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, it was distracting.
It was.
Very off-putting. I didn't like it.
No. I'm being dead.
Every time I hear Eddie Murphy talk in a different movie that's not Shrek, I'm just like, That's Donkey.
That's Donkey. He's very young in this movie.
If you closed your eyes and just listened to this movie, it would just be
Donkey's got a mouth on.
Yeah, it would just be like Donkey's trying to solve the murder of his friend.
Oh my god.
That'd be the only way to improve it more.
So, I was going to bring up Axel F, the song that plays through the entirety of the movie. I was going to be like, so this is just like the theme song of the movie.
And we then know we found you out. Know it, everybody knows yeah. the song.
And then we found out it was literally made for the movie. So I didn't know that. And I was like, Jesus Christ, are they going to use this during every time that he's like running around? And they did.
And like, they literally did.
It's quite literally his theme song.
Yeah. Every time he's running around, it's just.
I'm sure back in the day,
investigating murder,
bing bing.
I'm sure, like when the movie came out, or until the stupid phone thing, because that was like the whole ringtone for
an entire generation.
Yeah, like
Crazy Frog.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure up until that point, they're like, yeah, that's a good, you know. That's good.
Everybody it's knows good. It. Yeah, it's
right.
It's an iconic theme song.
But we don't know it for the right reasons now.
Yes. Yeah. we do not know it for its inception, which was for the creation of this movie.
I actually was half tempted. I was in a vintage store last week, and I was sifting through their records just for shits and giggles. And one of the ones at the very forefront was Beverly Hills Cop.
Really?
And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, I should get that. Yeah, I thought about getting it, but I didn't.
That would have been great. It would have been perfect companion piece to the DVD.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, we could just stuck it right there.
I even have a record stand that I could have put it on.
I should have found the 8-track.
Yeah.
Or the cassette.
No, 8-track. 8-track.
How large is a casing in a like a container of an 8-track?
I have no idea. I've never owned 8-tracks.
Yeah, because obviously records are fairly large.
I want to say like 8-tracks were almost like VHS size, maybe.
Yeah, they're about that's a good good comparison.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one in my entire life. So
I mean, I've seen them, but not like I don't know what they came in.
Yeah,
right? I've always never, seen them loose.
Yeah,
so I really don't know. That's one form of media I've never owned.
Yeah. I bet that would sound great on the record, though. That synth.
Oh, probably.
That synth score.
Yeah. Well, if they still have it there, I'll be sure to pick it up.
Well, it's useless to us now.
Yeah,
well, we can talk about it. We can bring it when we talk about the sequel.
Is that your recommendation for next week?
No.
It's not. The sequel. I was scrolling through IMDb and Lieutenant Taggart or Sergeant Taggart is like a character in all three of the movies at least. So apparently I guess he stays in Beverly Hills. I mean, I guess they tease that at the end.
Yeah, he like
I guess it, so is the implication that he got fired from his Detroit office because
he went
because his chief was like, don't investigate, because if you do, like, you're fired.
I wish that the movie had ended like this, instead of the, like, exchange between him, Rosewood, and Taggart, and he's like, oh, you know, just follow me, we'll just go do this. It should have been him turning to the camera and saying, I think I'm going to become a Beverly Hills cop. And that's how the fucking
That freeze frame for, like,
freeze frame.
For like 30 seconds, like,
slowly fades out.
That would have been a better ending.
Would have been. Yeah.
Maybe that's
pretty good.
Yeah. So what I was gonna say is, do we think that he like becomes a detective in Beverly Hills, or do you think that like another case brings him back to Beverly Hills from Detroit?
I mean, I'm sure the universe knows that answer. I've never seen these movies, so I don't know.
I don't care enough to go looking into it either.
Tell us in the comments.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know.
How is Eddie Murphy a Beverly Hills cop for so long?
Is he still a Beverly Hills cop? Is there lore? Are there books? Are there comics?
By the way, number 4 has been in the works for 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's probably because Eddie Murphy took a long hiatus
yeah.
of acting to take care of his
So family. I'm sure as soon as we post this, they will announce it because...
That's just how things work.
That's how yeah. the universe works for some reason.
Yeah.
yeah.
As soon as we talk about a movie, there it's put on some streaming service. Not before, though, so we can't... It's not available to us. We have to...
Yeah.
Or, and, you know, when somebody picks one and it's taken off of it.
The streaming service, like, the day of.
Yeah.
No.
It literally had to have been March 1st that it went
Probably,
off.
Probably, yeah.
Because they were all three on there the other day. So.
HBO, that's what's going to be.
It usually says, it's like, this is your last chance.
Apparently HBO is like, yeah.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be, we... release this episode, and then a week later it's going to be like, HBO Max original Beverly Hills Cop coming 2023 or some shit like that.
Yeah, they took the movies off just to announce it.
Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Supposedly, Beverly Hills Cop 3, so like a lot of those 80s like comedic actors, after a certain amount of time, they tried to do more serious roles, and apparently Beverly Hills Cop 3 is a one of the movies where Eddie Murphy tried to make it like a serious role.
Oh, really?
Like, of all movies, Beverly Hills Cop 3. Obviously, it's like a comedy movie. Why are you trying to act like it's your Citizen Kane?
It's 3 not a comedy movie?
I mean, I think it is a comedy. I just what I've heard is Eddie Murphy doesn't act like it's supposed to be a comedy.
Oh.
So I'm sure that's a wonderful
all right.
flick.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
Yeah.
I think that might be in the can. There's not much left to say about the movie.
Sometimes when we pick a movie, like, it just, there's not a lot to talk about because, I mean, it's your basic cop movie, yeah, really.
You just gotta watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta investigate with the character.
all the characters were likable, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Except for the chief, but he's not supposed to be likable.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Cox wearing the same suit that he was shot out of the window in RoboCop.
We need to find a still frame from both and see if
I actually thought about pulling it up whenever we were watching it. Like, look, it's the same fucking suit.
Well, I guess it's time for ratings.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. I don't know what I got a molder this way.
All right. I'm also in the same boat. Because I definitely didn't hate it, but like, maybe I'm just not, like, the biggest Eddie Murphy fan. Like, I really don't... Shrek was probably the first thing I even knew from. But
that could possibly be my first introduction.
Because I saw that in theaters when I was, like, 11.
Nutty Professor.
Oh, yeah.
Nutty Professor. I guess I saw that. I probably saw that one.
Dr. Yeah. Doolittle, was that him, too?
Yeah.
Maybe. I forgot he was both of those. Anyway. I'm going to go, like, a solid, I guess I'll go 7. Like, it's better than an average movie, so it's not a 5. And 6 is...
Yeah.
Yeah, 7.
I think I'm going to echo the 7. I feel like since we're watching this movie 40 years after it was made...
Yeah.
Like, maybe I would have liked it more if I watched it 20 years ago or something. Yeah. But I've seen so many different movies, like cop movies, like police comedy movies, like all that kind of shit.
And probably this was the, you know, the precursor to all yeah. those ones you're thinking of.
But it's kind of like whenever we had our Halloween discussion where it's like, I've seen so many other horror movies that, like,
yeah.
everybody thinks that Halloween's like this fucking great movie, and I was like, it's just okay. So it's just kind of the same thing with this.
Like, for me. In the context of when Halloween came out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing then, but, like, all these years later, it's just okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6.5. It is. It's just okay. Is it something that I would rewatch? Yeah, maybe.
If it was, like on TV yeah. or something, I'd...
Yeah, if you just yeah. come across it.
But, like, yeah. But, like, no one in my entire life of almost 30 years has ever come up to me and been like, Beverly Hills Cop, man, you ever watch it? No, I haven't. No,
sorry, I haven't seen it.
Like, there are a lot of movies where they're like, oh, you ever seen, like, Fletch? It's out there, but it's like, no, but yeah, I'll check it out. Like, nobody's ever come up to me and been like, dude, Beverly Hills Cop? You're missing out. You haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's anybody's favorite movie.
I know one person, but I won't.
You want to divulge that information?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. We have another recommendation coming for us next week. Oh, no.
Ah, fuck it, Lynn.
I just wanted to see that movie. Got two options. Do you guys want drama or sci-fi action drama?
We haven't done a good drama in a while. We just did a sci-fi movie last week, so.
That's true.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, yeah. Yeah, this would almost be the exact same thing, so I'm tossing that one out the window. We're going to watch Darkest Hours.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a Gary Oldman movie where he plays Winston Churchill.
Oh.
Okay.
Is that...
Darkest Hour,
yeah. I think is what it's okay. called. Yeah. That's a pretty recent movie. He won an Academy Award for his performance.
I wanted to watch it for the longest time. It's on Netflix, but I wanted to watch it for the longest time, and now it's available to stream.
All right. There we go.
We're going to watch that.
So, if you don't want to be spoiled for The Darkest Hours, I believe, we'll work
something like that. Whatever.
For next episode, make sure to watch it before next episode. Thank you for watching and listening to our discussion about Beverly Hills Cop. I hope you enjoyed it. I know we enjoyed talking about it. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And I guess we'll see you in the next one, guys.
Darkest Hour.
Perfect.
That's the outro.
Fade to black.